Welcome to the Resource People Podcast, presented to you by Australian Resources and Energy Group, AMA. The Resource People Podcast brings to life the stories behind the people, workforces and companies of our great industry.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Resource People Podcast. For this episode, with Linda O'Farrell, who is the Director of Fortescue People at Fortescue Metals Group. Linda and I really go deep about diversity and inclusion and how it drives industry-leading performance. We touched on women in leadership and how this has really been nurtured at Fortescue. We discussed training and skills and Fortescue's response to industry shortage and the exciting stage of expansion in Australia and overseas and what this means for Fortescue people. Hope you enjoy this episode. Linda O'Farrell, welcome to Resource People Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Tara. Thanks for the opportunity.
Wonderful. And to get us started, can you give us an overview of Fortescue?
So Fortescue is a resources business, and right now we are around 15,500 people, which is a fairly significant growth from where we were about a year ago, where we were just under 10,000 people. Predominantly based in the Pilbara in Western Australia, where we mine iron ore, and we have three mine sites there and a port and rail operation in Port Hedland. But we also have people all around the world, actually. So we have our marketing team based in Shanghai, our shipping team up in Singapore, and we have our exploration teams in a number of different locations in South America and Kazakhstan and other regions. So certainly starting to create a global footprint.
And being the director of Fortescue People and having 15,500 people in the Fortescue workforce, I'm sure people would love to know a bit about your background, but also the focus you have in your role as the director of Fortescue People.
I absolutely love this role and this business. I think it's such a privilege to work in an Australian resources company, particularly one that's so based on values, which Fortescue really is. And with 15,500 people, you can imagine there's never really a dull moment. there's always plenty going on.
I bet.
Yes. So from a background perspective, I was surprised that I ended up in an HR role because I never really studied HR. Well-known secret. so there you go. From a career perspective, you don't have to follow a traditional career path. But I did a Bachelor of Economics, so I'm actually an economist, and I decided pretty early in the piece that statistics weren't really going to be my contribution to the world. So I started to divert into industrial relations, which I'm incredibly grateful for. I think it's such a fascinating area, both within the HR function, but in Australia generally. Says a lot about who we are as a country and a nation, you know, having diverse views, finding constructive ways of working together. Was actually a great foundation to head into a people role. So after studying at the University of Western Australia, I landed my first role at the Chamber of Commerce and Industry. So I feel very at home around industry organisations and think that you do a marvellous job in bringing us together as a sector to talk about important issues, and obviously diversity and inclusion is one of those. So very small snapshot of my background. I obviously ended up having the opportunity to get into the resources sector, and was pretty much love at first sight when I set foot on the Telfer gold mine. I felt very at home in the Pilbara and amongst the mining community, who I find very practical and open and willing to give things a crack. So from there, worked with Newcrest, worked with BHP and a number of awesome organisations before joining Fortescue 7 years ago, as it happens. 7 years that have gone incredibly quickly. And in terms of my personal background, I'm the proud mum of two young boys who keep me very busy with all of the usual sporting arrangements and everything else that they end up doing. But they're also a big part of the reason that I feel very passionately about diversity and inclusion and creating workplaces which are reflective of our community and really are places that people can be the best that they can be. You know, when you you look at your children and you think, this is an amazing country and there's so many great opportunities out there. I think we owe it to our community and to our kids to just create workplaces which get better and better as time goes by. So they're a big inspiration for me.
That's so wonderful. And when you mentioned a couple of things there about the practical people in the industry having a crack, that's very much my perception of working with you and working with Fortescue. You mentioned Fortescue's values, and I'll ask a few questions about that as we go on, because I very much get the impression that Fortescue really does have a crack and try and solve things that are often quite challenging, and really renowned as a leader, but also an innovator in the diversity inclusion space that you just touched on. Perhaps you can give us a bit of insight or an update on how Fortescue's going in terms of the diversity inclusion areas that you really focus on.
Thanks, Tara. Look, I think just to touch on that point on values, all companies these days do have a set of values, and we're no different. I think we perhaps are different in the number of our values. We've got around 10 of them.
And quite unique values, is my observation.
They are. So I think one of the values that mostly gets commented on is the family value. And that can be a little perplexing to people. You know, what does family mean in a business context? We just take it, again, very simply and practically. It means that we treat one another with respect and care, regardless of role title or background, or, you know, none of those things really matter at the end of the day. We're all working together to achieve a common purpose and goal. And at Fortescue, and we're only 16 years old, you know, if we didn't have that very inclusive type of culture where you get great ideas from everywhere, where you listen to one another, you know, we wouldn't actually exist. So for us, the business case around diversity and inclusion is a very real thing. You know, we need people from different backgrounds with different perspectives, trusting one another to share ideas and to get on with things to actually exist. So it's really at the heart of who we are and what we do. And obviously the other big part of the Fortescue approach to diversity and inclusion is really ensuring that the people around us, our communities around us, benefit from our activities. We're in the Pilbara. Clearly there's, you know, a large proportion of the Pilbara communities are Aboriginal people, and we find such a richness of cultural understanding of different perspectives on life by engaging with our local communities and our Aboriginal people. And we're really proud to say that at the moment, you know, we're just under 15% Aboriginal employment in our Pilbara workforce. Across our Australian workforce, we're at around 10% Aboriginal employment. And our female employment continues to grow. We are at 19% now, and 26% of our senior leadership roles are women. So we find that whilst there's always more to do, and I don't think you can ever say, you know, we've arrived, that we've got a really strong business case, really strong understanding of why diversity is important to us. And that really fuels our thinking and work when it comes to encouraging other people to step into our business and to make a contribution.
It's often enviable, your, you know, Indigenous employment. In fact, it strikes me that some employers in our industry, you know, would be very pleased to have the kind of gender numbers that you've got in your Indigenous participation, because it's, you know, been something that the industry's been working on for some time, but haven't been able to really push past being in the teens on female employees, let alone your really impressive Indigenous employment workforce participation. But you do a lot of programs that are really proactive around workforce development. I'd like to kind of firstly ask you what initiatives and things that you think you're most proud of, or you think that have had most meaning for Fortescue. But I'd also like to kind of ask what you say to peers or other resources companies about, you know, if they're saying, wow, how did they do it? Any inspiration that you might have for them?
Yeah, thanks, Tara. And they're kind words, and we appreciate that feedback. I guess we're never satisfied with where we're at. So we've got a stretch target value, which is very real to us. I think in terms of the programs that make the most difference, and again, each business really needs to understand where they're up to and do things that make sense for them. I think that practical is what makes a difference. But Some of the things that we've found really do help contribute to those types of outcomes. You know, obviously our vocational training and employment program, our VTEC program, has been in play pretty much since the start of Fortescue. And what that does is for Aboriginal people in community, it basically gets people ready to work. And it guarantees a job at the end of that program. So there's some very simple concepts. Obviously, the delivery of these programs and dealing with the complexity of people's circumstances and all of those other things, you know, might not be that
as simple.
The concept is very simple. So, you know, we never just train for its own sake. We actively go out and talk to people and bring people into the organisation in different ways. So we find that with diverse candidates, coming through the normal standard recruitment process may not be what encourages them to be successful. So changing the recruitment process through a program like VTEC and giving people some time to become familiar with the resources sector, to deal with any health issues or any other sort of barriers to employment in a really supportive way. And our VTEC programs are run by amazing Aboriginal leaders. So right there in front of our people are role models saying, this is possible, you know, this is successful. We've found that makes a big difference. I think over the time as well, we've learned that taking that next step beyond entry-level jobs and providing people opportunities to step into trades roles or apprenticeships or traineeships or anything else is really important as an ongoing approach to developing people. And as part of that, and you know really well, Tara, one of our programs that we are very proud of is Fortescue's Trade Up program, where, you know, we found ourselves in 2015 having the enviable situation of having over 500 direct Aboriginal employees in our business at that point in time. Many of them were in our mining operations, which were about to go through an autonomy program. So we really began to challenge ourselves there around how could we reskill, redeploy people currently operating gear. And at that point in time, our trades participation for both female and Aboriginal employees was very low. So we challenged ourselves and we said, well, let's put out an opportunity, an expression of interest into our business for our current Aboriginal workforce to see who would like to take on an apprenticeship. So out of that 500, 74 people actually put their hands up at that expression of interest, which was really amazing. We didn't
incredible.
We didn't see that kind of desire. And putting people through a really rigorous assessment process, we were stunned and frankly very thrilled at the talent that was sitting right in front of us. So that group, that first group that came into Fortescue's Trade Up in 2015, they graduated last year. So we now have, you know, electricians and fitters and mechanics, all sorts of people that have taken on a trade later in life. We've learnt so much as a business around how to best train adult apprenticeships. We've bought TAFE to us. We've created a trades training centre at one of our mine sites. We've done a lot of different things, and I think, you know, that's part of the commitment that companies can make. If you want different results, then have a look at how you change some of your people systems to really support people, and you get these outstanding results as a matter of course.
I mean, I've had the pleasure of meeting a couple of your first group of Trade Up participants, and I just often wish I could just bottle the kind of stories and expertise and passion that I've felt and heard when I've heard their stories about their, you know, their career pathway. And you, you know, really brilliantly set us up in this discussion to say that you didn't have a traditional career trajectory, studying something and then doing something else. And I guess that's the lesson that I've taken from it, is that just like you said, this surprising amount of talent that you had in front of you until you challenged the status quo about how you are going to develop your workforce and your existing people. So it is an inspiration. And I'd love to ask you personally, is there anything that you've found over this 7-year journey that you've had, anything in doing all of these programs that you've found surprising or particularly challenging in the delivery and then the outcomes of the programs that you've undertaken at Fortescue?
The beautiful surprises is as you've mentioned, understanding people's histories and stories. And so taking the time to listen, you know, prior to Fortescue's Trade Up, we had a really successful apprenticeship program. You know, we were delivering amazing apprentices who would win Apprentice of the Year awards and all sorts of things. So it was really, really successful. But having the courage to actually say, we can change something that's very successful because we want to get a different outcome, you know, that's a real learning. You know, sometimes the people team and the maintenance teams and whoever else actually have to have a fair bit of courage to make a change, particularly when you're being very successful. The second learning was, you know, don't accept a particular outcome. So, you know, I would challenge our apprentice team and say, how come we don't have more women putting their hands to be apprentices? And it sort of dawned on me, you know, that the apprentice team, as I said, are amazing. We're doing an incredible job and still do today. It sort of struck me that actually trying to find a 16 or 17-year-old girl who has decided that her reason for being in the world is to be a boilermaker on a mine site is kind of like looking
for... Big ask.
You know, that's unicorn hunting, and I do believe unicorns exist. I just think that they exist in different dimensions. And I'm like, well, let's go looking in the places where we are. And that's probably been the biggest learning for me. Sometimes... you think you've got to create all of these, you know, different structures that are going looking for different people and different skill sets. And sometimes that's true. You know, sometimes if you want to build a tailings dam, for example, well, then it behoves you to go and find the world-renowned expert in everything to do with tailings dams. But many of our jobs, we all started not knowing what the resources sector was like, and all of us can learn. So I guess for me, it's probably not a surprise, but a real, you know, bolstering to my view of human capability, people's capability, has been seeing the results that you get when you actually look at your workforce and say, you know what, there's talent right there in front of us. If we make it a little easier for people to continue what we all talk about, this lifelong journey, and we think differently about who can come into a traineeship program, you know, important to have young people come through. I really support that. I think that's incredibly important. But why do trainees all have to have a certain age distribution? Why do apprentices all have to have a certain age distribution? So truly saying, look, are we creating diversity at the entry point to programs was probably the biggest takeaway for me, and I think has really changed the way that we think about what people can continue to do, and that's been wonderful. So, yeah, I think coupled with that, there's a lot of challenges. You know, when you start to change the rules, you can't necessarily expect that ways that have worked will continue to work. And we certainly had some feedback very early in the piece that, just using the adult apprenticeship as an example, it was very confronting. For someone who perhaps hadn't been at school for quite some time to be the lone voice in a group of 17-year-old or 18-year-old men and women in a TAFE class down in...
Back in the classroom.
That's it, when perhaps their families are back up in the Pilbara. And so sometimes what you've been doing simply doesn't work. And fortunately, one of the great values of Fortescue people is that they tend not to be shy in telling you what's not working. So I've really enjoyed having the good, the bad, and sometimes the really ugly feedback coming from all of our wonderful people involved in our programs to say, hey, we care enough to trust you with this information. It's not working. You need to do something a little different and let us help you. And we're always grateful for that kind of feedback. It's what makes a difference.
Absolutely. I'd really love to touch on what you said about what I think is really poignant about challenging the upfront kind of recipe opposed to wanting some sort of outcome that is different to the status quo, and really like to kind of press you a little bit on the status quo, because I did say in an earlier question that Fortescue and you personally amongst your peers are really seen to be an innovator in this space. But I know you talk very practically about these things. So I would love to ask you a bit more about innovation and how you personally perceive innovation or how you generate innovation, perhaps without even knowing it, and how have Fortescue used innovation, how Fortescue innovates to really build that diverse and inclusive workplace that you have?
Look, I think, again, sometimes it's just as simple as listening to people. So I'll use the example of how our Fortescue family room came into play. And the Fortescue family room is something that we are incredibly proud of. So in our Perth Fortescue Centre, we have a creche service. It's been available to our people since August 2017, so more than 3 years, which is quite mind-boggling to me now. So over 1,200 children have had a really fun stay at the Fortescue family room since then, and that is wonderful. You know, we see that as a wonderful generational change, you know, welcoming kids into our workplace, giving them a great experience and helping mum and dad feel, you know, a little less stressed, because as we all know, if your parents juggling all of these things can be quite a job. So we're really pleased to have that on offer. But it came about very simply because, you know what, we have our remote operations centre in Perth, and that's just been extended recently. Now we have the Fortescue Hive, so all of our remote control operations workforce is now based in Perth. But at that time, it was a little smaller, but we had a number of women with the very practical issue of they're about to head off and have their babies. Some of them had partners who were also working with Fortescue on a fly-in, fly-out basis, and in their roles, they were doing night shift as well as day shift. And so they said, you know, how are we going to make this work? And, well, how were they going to make it work? There's a lot of challenges in all of that. And so, you know, we kind of took that seriously and said, well, we love having working parents, and there are some real logistical challenges here. Let's go and take a bit of a look. So, you know, we went and had a look at could we set up a daycare centre, and that quickly turned into, you know, something that was perhaps a little bit too big to bite off for Fortescue. It's a heavily regulated area and we didn't necessarily feel that we had the skill set to do that. But then in just talking with other industry groups and groups that did creches and all of that kind of thing, we found a partner to collaborate with who we had actually had some experience with doing pop-up creches. So we were running functions and, you know, these wonderful people would come in, you could leave your children there and they would have, you know, appropriately qualified nannies to look after the children for the extent of that function. And so in talking with them, we were like, well, what would it take to create a creche? And so it goes. And actually a creche is significantly less difficult to put together than you'd expect. So I think for us, innovation really starts with start where people are at. Mm. What are they dealing with? And then put some time and effort into it. Get a little team together. We are very informal in Fortescue. You tend to just attract people who are interested in that particular issue, and whatever their job title is, it doesn't really matter. They get involved in creating the solution. And before you knew it, you know, we had the Fortescue family room you know, it's just such a wonderful thing for everybody to have that facility there. So that's just one example, I guess, of how we deal with innovation. It is very much about practical solutions for and with people. And then we take feedback. Feedback is a big part of our culture. We have a number of ways of doing that, you know, obviously through those informal channels, but much more formally, we do a engagement survey once a year, and we do, as a leadership team, we get out and talk to our people at least twice a year through values forums, where we go to site, give a business update, and then have an open question and answer where people can ask whatever they like, both in person and then through other communications tools, which give them a level of confidentiality if that's what they need. So having a rich dialogue is really at the heart of that innovation, and wanting to make a better workplace is probably the other tenet that really drives how we think about it.
And to touch on the family room that you know, talked us through how that innovation came to be, doing it from a really practical perspective, but then, you know, when I think about it from a multi-generational attracting people to our industry, demystifying it, just even having, I know you have family days on site and things like that, but that's never been the sort of thing that can happen in a head office, capital city type environment. And yet you've, through finding practical solutions in one way, you've also really done something else on the other hand, which is demystify what these places and workplaces look like for families so that kids know where their parents are going and they know what that industry looks like.
100%. And we have little Fortescue shirts with little names on them. And I'm not joking, for our attendees. So we have a very long range recruitment plan.
Yes, I love that.
It's a wonderful thing. And again, you know, I think what we've seen culturally is this huge shift. And it happens very gently. And it's, again, it's one of these wonderful things that you don't necessarily see coming. It's a beautiful surprise. So you create a family room in your organisation, and then the next thing you know, and it's well handled, so it's not, you know, chaotic, but you see children coming through the office and the whole mood lifts. You know, people just love seeing these kids coming through. They're on their way to somewhere where, frankly, the kids want to be. And, in fact, the number of times I see a 3 or 4-year-old running to the family room and the door to be let in is, you know, it's, we could all learn from that in terms of enthusiasm. But it just creates a really visible commitment to that value of family and to that value of, you know, bring yourself to work. You don't have to pretend you haven't got children. And it's one thing that does strike me, I think, with previous generations and, you know, amazing kudos to all of those incredible women that have, you know, blazed the way for people like ourselves to be in the positions that we're in today. You know, my sense is that it wasn't as easy to be very open about juggling your parental and your work responsibilities even a very short time ago. And certainly I've had wonderful feedback from women that have been in leadership roles a little bit before me saying, well, good on you, because we didn't have that flexibility. So I just see this as supporting men and women to work in workplaces where you want to be. And you bring your kids in, that's a wonderful testament to us that engagement is really working, and we see all of these benefits in safety, productivity, cost, it all just flows.
And just hearing the way that you're approaching it, I do want to ask you some questions around women in leadership. And I also want to ask you a question about expansion. You took us through the recent expansion, and I'm curious to know how you're kind of focusing on and retaining, you know, the things that have made Fortescue so successful. But that lends me to a question that you started out talking about, the business case of the types of things that you've been undertaking in the development of all Fortescue people. But Fortescue has got amazing results and, you know, has risen to be the number one ranking stock on the S&P ASX 100 index. How can you describe, or are you able to contribute, Fortescue's workplace and kind of workforce culture and perhaps those unique company values into the success financially and economically of the organisation?
Well, I'm going to echo our wonderful CEO, Elizabeth Gaines, who just last week at a number of conferences basically attributed our success to diversity. And I do believe that that's true. And we think of diversity in its most diverse sense. So obviously, we love the fact that we've got so many amazing women in senior roles, and they are outstanding. You know, I'm so, so privileged to work with such an incredible group of women and men in these senior leadership roles. I think it comes back to, again, just creating an atmosphere and environment where people feel comfortable to speak up. That's no mean feat in a large organisation. Mm. You know, it takes work. And so, you know, if you're in a leadership role as a Fortescue leader, being visible, getting out to site, doing things like those values forums that I talked about a little earlier, and that's quite an effort. So the last round that we did a couple of weeks ago, it's a whole week. We did 12 sessions in 5 days and got to all of our sites in that time and Perth. So, you know, that's a big commitment of an executive's team time, and so worth it, you know. So being visible, listening to what's going on and reacting to that, you know, we often say to people when we're out there, if you've got a concern or an issue, then we would expect that you would work with your immediate supervisors and managers to resolve it. But if for some reason you can't, then anyone in Fortescue can seek assistance from anyone else. So Elizabeth will get emails, or I will get emails, or anyone really. And we all just see it as another way of actually raising concerns and issues that sometimes can be hard to resolve at a site level. So it's those types of things that I think really does create that environment where people buy into the values. They do see it as different here. Our values are you know, the most important part of our induction process. You know, we all know that, again, they're aspirational. We've all got to live them every day. But it starts with actually talking about them, recruiting people for them, and trusting that skills, you know, can be developed further down the track. But someone wanting to buy into this culture, that's got to be really at the heart of those decisions around how we recruit and promote and develop.
And just engage more broadly, because that seems to be the big commitment, the commitment to engage and to act on that engagement. And you mentioned before that you have 26% of senior leaders in Fortescue are women, and you are rated amongst the best companies in the world for supporting development of female leaders. And in fact, in 2020, Fortescue was on the best companies for women to advance list. So would love to get you to kind of give us a bit more detail about what Fortescue does to develop, attract and support women in those leadership positions.
Sure. And again, they're all very practical things. I think we say that word a lot. It is very much a part of our culture, you know. So from a practical perspective, you know, what are some of the things that support women? Well, it's things like paid parental leave. So we have our 16 weeks of paid parental leave. That's not just for women. That's for any parent in our business. And really pleased to say that we're seeing an increasing number of men take up the paid parental leave as well, which is wonderful. We also have flexible working arrangements. I think COVID has been, you know, a real challenge for all of us, and I certainly don't take that lightly. But one of the things that it's absolutely shown us is that flexible working, working from home, you know, creating a different mindset around how work can be delivered, you know, is certainly something we take very seriously. And we're, again, in a very privileged position of having been able to continue our operations and to work from our Perth centres for quite some time, but we're still very much in the mode of encouraging people to work flexibly as it suits them and their team. So that's really important. And we have a range of leadership development programs as well. And some of those programs, our Empower program, empowerment's one of our values. It actually started out as a program that we offered only to women, to assist them to think about their own careers and how they might want to set their own goals and create a voice for themselves around a career path. Over the time, I guess we've found that things that we've done for a group of people have tended to be so successful and well thought of that over a period we've actually opened it out to everybody within Fortescue. So I can be quite opportunistic with these things. I think if you bring in amazing development opportunities for people, the business wants to just buy them. And so you say, of course, you know, let's then open it out. But we still unashamedly and very heavily weight our leadership programs and other development opportunities to women and Aboriginal people, because they remain underrepresented when it comes to leadership. And we know that as you increase participation in leadership roles, then the amount of change that you get does get magnified. So it's all a balance, I think.
And so inspirational, because companies that aspire to have the kinds of programs and the kinds of outcomes that you've got, to hear you talking so practically about those things doesn't take away from often, as you know, we've already said how complex some of the things are, but taking a practical approach is something that every organisation can do. And I'm interested in your perspective on a recent statistic around women in leadership through Chief Executive Women's Census. They've recently reported the women in leadership in roles in Australia, ASX 200 companies, is flatlining. Is that your experience at Fortescue, or do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously, Chief Executive Women are a really important organisation, raising a very important point. And that is that it's still very challenging for women to create, an ongoing career. And I think, again, the sorts of things that we've done in Fortescue do try to get down to what does it take to help women who may be thinking about their career and family and all of these other things in life, what does it really take to continue your journey on all of those fronts at once? And we draw on our own experience. Many of us do have families as well. And so what makes a difference? It makes a difference when you can work flexibly if there's something that hasn't gone quite right at school. You know that it makes a difference for women when they're welcomed back to work after a period of parental leave. Even in today's world, it's kind of saddening how many times that's not the case. How women feel that they've got to ask permission or they're a little scared to come and tell you that they're going to have a child. I always reflect on one of the great things that I've had the opportunity to have in my career is wonderful bosses and mentors. And I still reflect on the first time I had to tell my then boss, who's such a gracious man, that I was pregnant and sort of said, oh, I'm really sorry, I'm going to have a child and I'm thinking of taking 6 months off. And he leapt up out of his chair and he gave me a great big hug and he said, this is the best news. Take whatever time off you want. The role will always be there, but this time doesn't come back. And to have that kind of safety and security wrapped around me was such a marvellous thing. And, then other people play a role in helping you decide to come back to work because they're big decisions. It's that kind of safety and security that I guess through our simple policies and our culture that we try to provide to women and to make it that little bit easier when you're sitting there thinking, how is all of this going to work? That at least you're working with a workplace that says, yeah, it can be challenging, but we can do anything and so can you and how can we help? So it's those types of things. So, yeah, I think it's a really big issue. I think if I can just say one more thing on this point. Childcare. It's the biggest issue on the national agenda when it comes to really assisting more women stay in careers to get the experience that they need to hit those senior leadership roles. And I don't think we found a good solution just yet. So more to do on that agenda, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Not just availability, but absolute cost when, a family has to think about their options in terms of who's caring. Often, I think there's some recent stats that said that it's often the female that has more pressure to not go back to work because of the cost of childcare is often, if not more, but commensurate with what their wage is. And, that leads into the gender pay gap and that goes on and on. But there are some really interesting things happening in our broader industry around skills at the moment. COVID's had a big impact on some of the sectors in our industry, and you kind of go through these cycles, and we're really getting into a cycle at the moment where skill shortages are really starting to become pronounced again, Linda, and yes, really remains a challenge for us. And with the sorts of things you've talked to us about in terms of the development of your workforce internally, and then the way that you approach working with your communities to build your workforce, with a workforce of 15,500 people, is a skill shortage something that's of a concern to Fortescue?
Oh, it's always a concern, absolutely. I think the resources sector is increasingly alive to the fact that, we have a big role to play in creating pools of talent and actually starting from the start and creating those apprenticeships. And it's wonderful to see everybody really jumping on board with that. I think it's a very important thing for the whole nation. So there are always roles that are in short supply. And interestingly enough, and again, Western Australia has been in an incredibly privileged position through this whole period. With the border restrictions, certainly there are some skill sets that do get harder to attract and retain. And again, we're just trying some different things. So one of the recent initiatives that we've put together, I should also say Fortescue is a very frugal company. So when I talk about these programs, if people are thinking we've got this massive big bucket of money to just, try things with, well, we tend to have to think of innovative ways of delivering these things.
Frugality is one of your values. And I remember seeing your values and thinking, wow, I've never seen that before. It's incredible.
Frugality and family, they're two of the unusual ones, but, right. but they're good because they certainly do help you think differently. So, you know, we're in the midst of this situation where potentially there is some skill shortage, and we're looking at how do we get some greater diversity. And so one of the initiatives that we've recently put together is we decided to repurpose some money that we had in training into creating 40 traineeships across safety positions, service people positions, so entry-level maintenance and business administration positions, just to see, you know, what was out there, because we knew that we could train people in those skill sets really well. And our experience has often been it's not a supply issue, it's just the barriers into the resources sector,
the connection,
very much. So we put out these traineeships and were just so grateful. We had 1,600 applications for these traineeships, and we're in the process of awarding them now. And, you know, my goodness, it's a tough one, isn't it? So 70% of the trainees that we're bringing in are women. Over 30% of them are Aboriginal people. So, you know, to me, it says there's a lot of people out there who would love to get into resources.
Have the and opportunity.
Make that opportunity and provide that development. Then, you know, I think it just comes back to let's think differently about the people that perhaps are right next to us that might not have thought about this as an opportunity until they see something concrete like, here's a traineeship, would you like to give it a go?
And I know that in 2019 you ran an open day where you welcomed people, you opened up the doors of your offices and welcomed particularly females to come in and just learn more about the industry. Did you find a connection between your traineeships and the people that you have welcomed with open arms to just come and check out Fortescue?
Yeah, that was such a great thing. And again, just coming back to innovation, you know, one of the things that we like to do is work with broad groups. And gosh, you know, when you look at all of our amazing contracting partners as well, and you roll up all of that experience together, you get some really rich insights. So for the past sort of 3 or 4 years, we've held contractor forums a couple of times a year to talk about diversity. And they're very informal, you know, we literally sit in a room in a big circle and share ideas, you know, from all sorts of different businesses and different sectors of the resources business. And as time has gone on, the conversation has got more towards, you know, what can we do together to create some difference? And so late last year we were thinking, why don't we see whether or not we could run a summit? So something like a careers fair, to actually just really showcase what the resources sector does have, because, as you know, I mean, there's all sorts of different roles that are available in the resources sector. So we did. We ran our inaugural, we called it Empower Your Career Summit. We had 24 of our contracting partners with us, so we had little stalls and they all came along, and we had over 420 women attend those events. And really pleasingly, we know of at least 60 women that got jobs directly related to that event. And, of course, we were going to be holding our next one probably around February, but COVID had different plans. Mm. So very, very fortunately, we're now in a position of holding our second career summit in a few weeks' time. And we are broadening out our views on diversity. So we're really looking to encourage a much more inclusive range of people. So people from the LGBTI community, we're looking to help people that have different capabilities come into our business. So as we're maturing, you know, we're starting to look towards creating a concept of, we really want to build a workplace which is reflective of the community. And so these types of events are opportunities for people that might not have thought about resources to come along to create connection, not just with Fortescue, but with a whole range of supplier partners, and to see that as a career that they might be interested in. So I will keep you posted on Empower Your Career, Mark, too, Tara.
Wow, and I know you and I have had conversations about how wonderful it'd be to have those all around the country, not only from a company's perspective, but really from an education perspective about the opportunities in our industry. So any companies out there listening that would love to get on board with that, just connect with Amma and we'll figure out some way to have a crack at that. But
yeah,
that is such a good example of what you said earlier, Linda, about, you know, being opportunistic. You know, you ran this amazing Empower Leadership Development Program for women, and now it's become bigger and more, you know, more diverse and wider. And the same things happen with Empower Your Career. There's quite a theme going on there. And while we're talking about training and skills, one of the things that's probably concerning people publicly and in communities is really the transition and opportunities that have been going on in the industry around automation and, you know, a little bit of anxiety in the community of the impact on roles. So I'd love to take this opportunity to ask about the opportunities your autonomous haulage program has brought about in terms of workforce development and redeployment to new roles.
Yeah, thank you. And look, those are, they're very real issues. Absolutely no question about that at all. And so we take them very, very seriously. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, TradeUp was born out of that recognition that we were going to need to do things differently to help people move away from, you know, driving trucks when they were going to be autonomous. So we certainly started with the view that we wanted to keep our people employed. You know, we genuinely value the skill set and the cultural fit and all of those things. So we started with the view that people shouldn't have to be made redundant out of that program. So, again, we do love a career fair within Fortescue. And I think back, actually, the career fairs have had a bit of a trend in Fortescue. So when we were starting to go autonomous haulage at one of our first sites, we spoke to each of the people who were currently driving trucks and asked them, what would you like to do? You know, so we've got a bit of an idea of career goals. And then we invited groups from all around the business, so people from our port operations, our rail operations, parts of my own team, you know, all sorts of different groups to that site, and ran a number of information evenings where people who were looking for other opportunities could come along and meet and express their interest in different careers. And we're so proud to say that, you know, that's been a very successful program for us. We haven't had to make people redundant, so people have moved into other roles. And what we've found also is that bringing our remote operations to Perth has actually opened up more opportunities for a more diverse workforce. So actually close to half of that remote operations centre are women. Many of them are parents as well. And we have the biggest gun in terms of operating flexible rosters that I've ever met. And I'm not going to tell her name because I don't want her
making the rosters work.
She's amazing, you know, but so just helping people think through, you know, what kind of roster setup might work for all of these different people. So we've found actually that if you take that view that people's roles don't have to be made redundant, you can reskill, then it's surprising just what can be achieved. So, yeah, we're very grateful for all of that.
And I'm sure the people that work at Fortescue and in your communities really value those opportunities as well and the approach that you've taken, because, as you say, they're really quite real areas of concern and anxiety. I touched on before that I wanted to ask you about expansion, because this is something that's really often challenging from a workforce culture perspective and the growth that you've told us about in terms of your workforce. And your domestic and international expansion must be really exciting to be at Fortescue and to work through that. So can you let me know if you've got any priorities or particular focus areas from a workforce and a workplace culture perspective through this period of expansion?
Sure, thanks, Tara. And look, yes, it's all very real and very exciting for Fortescue. I'll start with our iron ore project. So we have our new mine site, the Eliwana mine site, fantastic site, and we've actually thought really differently about our village setup and creating a different amenity for our people on site there too. So that's been really great. So that's actually due to come into operations this December. So this is very real for us. What we've done there, and we'll do again with our Ironbridge site, which is a little further down the track, but not too far, is we've come in early. So we've created an operational readiness team. We've had current Fortescue people go into those leadership roles. So we've brought the culture with that core people group right. that started those sites. Mm. And we've definitely set ourselves some targets. So we definitely targeting a decent percentage of that new sites workforce coming from our existing sites, and we'll backfill roles at our existing sites. So we bring the culture to the new sites and also give opportunities to people outside the resources sector to join us. And we've set ourselves targets around diversity as well. So Alawana wants to start at 25% female employment, and they will, and at a really high level of Aboriginal employment as well. So I guess we just learn from everything that's happened on our previous sites, and that just gives us a really good standing start for those sites as they come online. So that's our Australian operations. They are doing really, really well, and there's big opportunities still to come there for our communities. Similarly, particularly in South America, we have our exploration groups in South America. We've been in Ecuador and Argentina now for some years, and obviously quite a lot of impact through the COVID period, no doubt. So in Ecuador, we've been engaging with the community there quite heavily. So with exploration activities, clearly there's a lot of field work to be done. Mm. So we've been working very closely with local people who continue to farm their properties and to work with us on a job share basis. And it's one of the nice things that, again, is an unintended consequence. The concept of job share in a fly-in, fly-out or on a roster actually came to bear at one of our sites up in the Pilbara. So our Cloudbreak team came up with the option, asked if they could give it a crack. There it is again, that term. And well, why not? Who's the experts around fly-in, fly-out? But people actually...
You guys? Yeah.
That's right. So they created this concept of job share, which ultimately got transplanted to a community in Ecuador who were able to do job share whilst doing field work, which is pretty cool if you put it
Incredible.
That way. So,
yeah.
I think wherever we go, we want to make sure that we do provide opportunity for the people, around us to share in that value. So that's very much at the heart of what we're doing, and we're continuing to shape that in all of the other international opportunities that we're now considering. So it's really an exciting time. I think Fortescue's been on the threshold of sort of global expansion for some time, and it's wonderful to see that really coming to bear. And training and development of people will be absolutely at the heart of everything that we do in all of our operations. So that's pretty exciting.
Absolutely. And such a great note to thank you for taking us for what's been for you that 7-year journey, and then the Fortescue, the teenager now, in terms of really workforce and what's worked for you and what you're really looking to grow and adapt into all of these fantastic expansion opportunities. So Linda O'Farrell, as always, absolutely marvelous to speak to you. And thank you so much for sharing the innovations, although just having a crack and practical approach is probably the theme for our discussion. Thank you so much for your time and sharing all of your insights. Thank you again.
Absolute pleasure, Tara. Thank you.
Well, Linda certainly gives us fantastic insights, not only into the way that she approaches things, but the way that Fortescue approaches things. I'm Tara Diamond, and thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Resource People Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Resource People Podcast. We look forward to you joining us next time as we highlight the many great stories of the resources and energy industry. If you have any questions about the podcast, please email media@ama.org.au. Produced by Brad Thompson.